Hi, this is Amira Adawi, your host of Beauty and Wellness Talk podcast. This is a podcast that's intended to raise awareness on the issues of colorism, skin lighting practices, chemical exposures, redefining beauty, and empowering communities that impacted by colorism, as well as sharing stories about health, well-being, and overall uplifting communities. And so today is our first episode about lived experience. You will hear from us sharing multiple stories of individuals about their lived experience of colorism representation. And so today our episode is about the lived experience of four young girls who are Somalis who live in Minnesota, who actually took part of the US election and volunteered their time, organized, and made sure that people come out to vote. And so they will be sharing today their experience, their overall lived experience of colorism, and why representation matters to them and to everybody. And so their names are Ilham Abdikareem. Ilham is in high school at Ubah Medical Academy. Raida Ismail is also a high school student, and she's with Ubah Medical Academy. Safiya Abdi also is a high school student, and she's with Ubah Medical Academy. And the last person, Aisha Omar, she's also a senior in high school, and she's at Ubah Medical Academy. Welcome to our guests. Hi, Ilhan, Raida, Safiya, and Aisha. Welcome to Beauty and Wellness Talk. I'm so glad to have you today on the show. Welcome.
Yeah, thanks for having us.
So can you introduce yourself? Maybe let me start with Aisha. Aisha, can you introduce yourself?
Yes, of course. Hello, everyone. My name is Aisha Omar. I go to Ubah Medical Academy.
Thank you. Ilhan.
Hi, my name is Ilhan Abdikareem. I am a senior at Ubah Medical Academy.
Thank you, Ilhan. Raida?
My name is Raida Ismail. I am 17 years old and a senior at Ubah Medical Academy.
Thank you, Raida. Safiya?
Hi, my name is Safiya Abdi, and I'm a senior in high school right now.
Thank you, Safiya. I'm so glad to have all of you on this show today, especially the week of U.S. election and what happened this week, and especially today, Saturday, where it was announced that President-elect of Joe Biden and Vice President Kamala Harris. So it's really great day to have this discussion and talk about both your work during the election, but also how you feel about the election result and representation in general as a woman of color, Somali women and Muslim in the United States. So so what have you done during the election day? I know all four of you were very active during the election. What have you done?
So in my precinct, not a lot of people came, but then it was a good amount. Personally, I think it was very stressful counting the ballots because, you know, it gets confusing. We reached 1,098 ballots, voters. And so we just registered them. I've seen a lot of people who haven't voted before are registering because they actually want to partake in changing the country. And that's kind of amazing.
Yeah, So Ilhan, that's a really great point. How did you get to that? How did you even become a part of the election volunteer part? Like, can you start with the beginning? How did you become interested? What happened?
Yeah, so it was my teacher that, okay, it was my teacher that was, that told me about everything that was going on. And sorry about the noise. It was my teacher who told me about the election judge thing. He said that I might be interested in, because I was always interested in politics. I was always interested in changing the world. And so when he told me about the election judge thing, it was a very exciting moment for me.
Mm-hmm. So what does it involve, even like being election judge? What is that role? Could you explain that? Because there might be people who will be listening to this podcast and don't know what that is. Can you explain that, Ilhan?
Okay, so I didn't really know anything at all. And it's not like the judges, they expect me to know everything as well. So all they did was just teach me how to be patient and helping other people, vote, and also educate others in voting and how it could have a huge impact in our community.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you, Ilhan, for sharing that. How about you, Aisha?
Yeah, so working as an election judge was a pretty great experience for me. I've got to see like so many different people. Like the line, my precinct was like in the middle of Minneapolis. So that's where a majority of the population of Minnesota lives. And I've got to see like the lines almost reaching like all the way outside into the parking lot. Everyone, all the election judges inside, we all had to work like very diligently. Mm-hmm. And it was a pretty amazing experience to see everyone coming to voice their opinions and show that they care about the next president, they care about America's future. Mm-hmm. And so my experience with the actual voting was I was mostly on the tabulators. So when people would come in to vote, I would basically register them in to vote, or if they were already registered, I would just send them off to get their ballots. Mm-hmm. And I was introduced to this by a counselor at my school. She just kind of let me know about this very great volunteering experience, and I was like, why not? Something new.
Yeah. And was this your first time doing it?
No, I started last year, my junior year of high school.
Okay. So what made you, because anything you do, Aisha, in life, there's something that, you know, made you do. There's something that triggered you to even think about doing that. Could you talk about, can you talk about more about yourself of how you get to that level?
Yes. So I would consider myself a people's person. I've always just loved performing and meeting new people and talking to people. And I thought this would be like a very amazing experience and a good, for like a very good cause. And I thought, why not? I get to talk to a bunch of people, and I'm also making change for America. And also I was influenced by my mother, who isn't an English speaker. And I've noticed that most of the years when she would come in to vote, she wouldn't have a translator. She wouldn't know how to fill in the ballots or anything. So, and not only my mother, there's a lot of many other non-English speakers. And I was thinking, hey, I'm bilingual, so I can go in there and I can help many people. So yeah.
That's a really great point, Aisha, because there are a lot of people that can't even read what's on that letter, but don't even know these individuals and their policies. And so is it like having somebody like you in that kind of places, is it important?
Yes, I believe it's very important, because that is what hinders many people from not voting. They just feel discouraged because they don't speak the language, and they don't speak English, and they're thinking, If I go in there, I don't want to just stand there clueless. So it's a very big, it's very important for translators to be there and people who speak both English and another language to be there to kind of be the encouragement for others to come and vote and make them feel comfortable. Mm-hmm. And yeah.
Thank you, Aisha. Raida, how about you?
Yeah, I was introduced to this job this volunteer thing by a teacher when I was a freshman, and then I was too young to do it, but he said that it's a really great opportunity to look for when you get a little bit older. And when I was a junior, he told us about it again, and I signed up for it because I never even knew it was a job that was available to me, or it was something that I could do. I always thought like the people who worked at the polls were people who were educated and had to meet special requirements, but they're just ordinary people that work there. And also, like, one of the most important duties as a bilingual election judge was to help out people who spoke Somali and didn't understand English, which was a lot of people. I mean, when I was working there on Tuesday, a lot of older people who only spoke Somali, who didn't understand the other election judges who were like telling them how to fill out a ballot, I was helping them out with just voting.
Mm-hmm. That's really great. So Raida, what made you do this? Like, what's the story behind this? Why did you become interested doing this?
Like I said, I never knew that it was a job that I could do, and I was just interested. You know, I don't have something specific that I like to do, or, you know, something that I stick to. I always like trying out new stuff to find my passion. And I also, in August, for about 2 weeks, worked with early voting ballots. Mm-hmm. So I'm just really interested in like how the election works and like the inner workings and the people who are at like the lowest level of the election. And so that's why I wanted to. So
yeah, that's really great. Thank you. Sophia, how about you?
So like everyone else said, they were introduced to the job by their teachers, and one of my social studies teachers told me about the job, and at first I was really reluctant to do it because I was scared that I wouldn't know what to do. But then he encouraged me and told me that the people there would walk me through the process. And then it was actually true, because I learned how to register people and then help them out. And then what got me to like stay was after I've worked three times so far. And the first time I saw that there were a lot of Somali people coming in, most of them not knowing how to vote or not knowing how to read their ballots, and it was mostly the older people. And then so that basically encouraged me to come in the second and third time, and I felt like I was helpful, so I really enjoyed the job, I guess.
Mm-hmm. That's really great, and that's really amazing that all four of you have that similarity of supporting those that want to exercise their rights but don't have the language skills. As a woman of color and immigrant Somali Muslim and American, how did you feel about that?
I felt great because I felt like I was capable of doing something that many others have the stereotype. They believe that people that come from other countries, or just I don't know, they believe that they're not capable of doing the same stuff. But that day, I felt really helpful because I was able to let people go through the process that they did not know anything about. And as a Muslim, a Somali woman, I guess, that just made me feel happy, I guess. And then watching my mom, the past few years that she wanted to vote, I saw her go in, and then she didn't know how to do it. And then being able to be there and watch her come in on the day that I was working and help her through the process is really great. And I felt like I was doing something great, I guess.
That's great. Thank you, Sophia. Others, Aisha, Ilhan, Raida.
Yeah, so I felt like I was representing my whole community. I felt like I was representing Phillips community, a community that's very diverse, that has like lots of minority. And I was basically there to help them. And it was pretty amazing.
Mm-hmm. How did that make you feel? Did you feel that you were contributing to the greater good of saving this nation, and making sure that people of color, especially Somalis, represent in, you know, feel represented in this election year?
I felt really empowered to actually educate others the importance of voting. And I feel like some people within our community, they don't really know how important it is to actually take charge and exercise your rights. And yeah.
Mm-hmm. Go ahead, Aisha, you were saying something.
Yeah, I was pretty much going to say the same thing as Ilhan. Our communities, they don't know how important it is to vote. They don't know the importance of it. So I feel like being there as an election judge and them seeing you be there, I feel like it was more of like an encouragement for them. And they were seeing that people like me are there and contributing to the greater good. And America is has to be a diverse country, and that's like the only way that things are going to work out.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. How about you, Raida?
Yeah, it made me feel really helpful and really needed. The people that were voting in my precinct were elders, and as a Somali and Muslim woman, I'm taught to respect and to help the older generations who have been through a lot to get us where we are today. And working there that day, I was the only person who spoke Somali. So I was representing the whole Somali community at Seward and helping those older people figure out stuff, and then them being like happy to vote and feeling like they actually contributed was a really great feeling.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. What were some of the stories that people were sharing, people that you were helping, the Somalis and other people, especially the Somalis, people that you were trying to help who otherwise might not feel comfortable to vote or don't know how to vote?
Most of the people who came in were telling me it was their first time voting, and that they were really influenced by like the pandemic and everything and how the president handled everything. And that's what influenced them to come in and vote for the first time in a long time. And yeah, that's what I was hearing from a lot of people who were voting that day.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Raida.
And I've heard a lot of people talking about how there are a lot of people from our community is taking charge. Like you see Ilhan Omar and the rest of the Somali people actually becoming leaders, and that also influenced them.
Mm-hmm. That's great. Thank you, Ilhan. Aisha, Sophia, will you like to add anything?
Yeah. Most of the people, the voters that were coming in, they were so nice. Like every time I was greeted with a big, huge smile, and I felt like I felt like I was helping like my own parents. Like that's how welcoming they were and like warm.
Mm-hmm. Did they feel comfortable? Did they feel welcomed? And how was that different than the previous years?
The precinct I was working in was basically mostly a bunch of Somali elders. So when they came in and then I helped them, like I translated for them and I read what was on their ballot, they tell me about how they were so proud of us. They said they talked about how they were seeing more Somali people or young kids, basically teenagers, doing this job. And they said they were proud of us and they felt like we were actually accomplishing something as a community. And they did feel comfortable, I guess.
That's great. So that's really amazing that all of you have participated in that, and we really appreciate your leadership. So today, all of you have heard the news that we have president-elect and vice president-elect. What do you think of that? What do you think of the results?
I think it's a great step for us. It's not much, but it's a huge step that could affect something, that could start something greater. Like there's a lot of people who are suffering. Like the past president has made a lot of people suffer, go through a lot of people, especially with the coronavirus and immigrant laws and all that stuff. And I feel like it's a great step for us as a community to spread knowledge and about our ethnicity or our race and how our culture and everything like that, so everybody else can be educated about who we are and what we represent.
That's a really great point, Ilham. Thank you.
Yeah, so this election, obviously there's like elections every 4 years, and every year a new president gets elected, but this election feels very different because of first the circumstances that we're in, but also that the vice president is a woman, is Black and East Asian, which is something that a lot of people didn't see coming for a long time. And knowing that there's going to be a female Black woman as a vice president shows that we're taking a big step into the future as a country, and also that we women, a Black woman, have representation in the White House, which is what we do, which is what the White House lacks, I think.
Absolutely, especially for the last 4 years. Aisha and Sophia.
Yes, I'm pretty proud of, I'm actually very proud of the outcome of the whole election. And I also wanted to say that this fight is not over. Just because Joe Biden was elected doesn't mean that everything is just going to be, set in stone. Everything's just going to be good and jolly. The fight is only starting now. And we just have to continue trying to fix the system that has been broken for many years. And yeah, the stuff is just beginning. And we can't just sit back and think, oh, okay, the president that we wanted is now in office, because it wasn't the president, it wasn't only the president that was the problem, it was the whole system collectively.
Yeah, great point, Aisha. Thank you. How about you, Sophia?
Yes, so I'm happy with the results of the election right now because the last 4 years, when Donald Trump was president, white supremacists have been showing that their supremacy more and more, and it was kind of scary. But then now that Biden's president, he's president right now, I guess it can help. And although he's not what we were looking for, like the president we're looking for is gonna help us for now.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you for sharing that. So going back to Aisha's point on that, where it's not over yet. There's so much problems that have happened the last 4 years, and that there's so much issue that needs to be addressed. So as a young Black Somali Muslim American women, in all of the identities that you have, what are the issues that you think that needs federal attention or even state attention that are not being addressed that really directly impacts you and that you have lived experience or even it impacts your community that has not gotten any attention? What are these some of the issues that you will want to see this new administration to address or even in our state? Because it's so important that, you know, we uplift young people's voices and the issues that are really impacting them. So maybe I'll start with Aisha. So what are these, what are some of these issues that are impacting you or your community that you will want to see change?
Within my community, I would like to see change with this whole drug epidemic. It's taking a very big toll on our youth, specifically our youth. And there has been many young boys and girls who have who are in and out of the hospital for overdosing. And the drugs that are being brought into the streets, the opioids, and it's killing our youth. And this needs to be heard of. And not many people know about this, but our communities, this is a big thing that we're suffering through and that needs to be heard on a more federal level. This is a big crisis that even the president needs to address.
Mm-hmm. Thank you for sharing that, Aisha. Any other issues, Ilhan, Raida, Sophia?
For me personally, as it happened like a couple of days ago, it's gun violence. I realized how much gun violence has affected in our community, especially. Like, I know how it's a topic that needs to be brought up, and that people really need to see how dangerous how difference is, you know, like how a person, a person has some sort of differences, like, oh, a white person having a gun and then like killing other people and all that stuff. And like especially in our community, like for some reason, somehow, like a lot of us have access to guns, and we should really educate others like how that sort of power can really affect us negatively.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, thank you.
I would also like to add that something that I'd really like for the United States government to discuss head on is women's rights, because I know how much it is like a controversial topic, but it shouldn't be. And as a woman living in America, it feels like a lot of my rights are not being properly given to me, and there's a lot of problems with like sexual assault and with reproductive rights and a lot of other things that women suffer from that aren't being discussed by the president, and instead people are dodging it or are, you know, addressing it as a controversial thing and then just leaving it be.
Thank you, Raida. How about you, Sophia? What are some of the issues that you would like to be addressed or changed?
I agree with what everyone has already said, and I don't have anything new to add on, but yeah.
Mm-hmm. Thank you. So, So in terms of representation and colorism, let's talk a bit about colorism and lived experience of colorism. Has anyone of you had a lived experience of colorism? I'm sure even if you didn't have it, your friends, your parents, or in schools, you hear about young people who are experiencing colorism. Can you share about any of your experience? Because the issue of representation and colorism, these are issues that overlap, and I would like to hear about how colorism impacted you, your lived experience of colorism.
Yeah, a couple of years ago, I just realized that skin lining is a thing. I never knew that. and I kind of knew, but then I never knew that was that popular, because like throughout the years I've seen my aunties, like they became like a whole shade lighter, or wearing like makeup that's lighter than them. Like they feel like as if people who have a lighter skin tone are much more beautiful and graceful looking and all that stuff. Like when I was in Kenya, when I was like 12 years old, I didn't really go outside much because one of my aunties, they were saying like, hey, don't go outside because you'd be darker and all that stuff. Like your hair would be like puffy or something like that. They want to look more white because we were influenced. We thought it was okay. And we never really talk about it either. It's just a regular thing now.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Thanks, Ilhan, for sharing that.
Yeah, growing up, I am a darker skinned woman, and growing up there were a lot of incidences where like even my friends or just relatives or people I knew would talk about, oh, like being a darker skin color, or even when they're like a darker skin tone, when they have a darker skin tone too, they would always make it clear in a way that having lighter skin or having a lighter complexion was something that was, you know, believed to be beauty. And growing up, that did really affect my like confidence and like stuff like that, because you know, when you're young and you're constantly being told like, oh, you're darker skinned, or you have siblings or you have friends or whatever who are lighter skinned, and you start thinking that, you know, being darker skinned is something bad, which it isn't. Mm-hmm. But I think it's just like white supremacy, but like ingrained into like the Black communities, and
That's a great point, Raida. Do you think that our current president Trump, that he's contributing to the whole thing of white supremacy in so many levels? Because so white supremacy has been embedded in many cultures, which is also colorism is a huge part of it. So do you think that his administration contributed to that?
Yeah, definitely. He is very openly, not like he wouldn't say it directly, but I feel like he is very openly racist. And that encouraged a lot of other people who were white or who were already racist to come out and, you know, be almost like proud of hating people who are darker skinned. And that definitely contributed to the rise of white supremacy and terrorism within white supremacy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Great point.
So yeah, and when they say Black is beautiful, like in our community, when they say Black is beautiful, they don't really mean dark skin. They deem that as like they're savage or like they're dirty or they're crazy and all that stuff. When they're talking about hair types, they don't really talk about like those beautiful curly hairs. They're really talking about those loose curly hairs. Like you want to see more racially ambiguous or stuff like that. You just don't want to be Black. You don't want to be too Black. They would say, oh, you're too Black. You're not as good as I am and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm. And the media also contributes to that. Do you see that media contributing to because I have seen like pictures get filtered through the media and all of that. So what do you think of representation in terms of media?
About that, when they say, oh, Black representation, they just do the bare minimum. They're showing like these mixed children or like really light skinned Black characters. And I've seen like over the years, like I see my favorite TV shows as a kid, they represent like a Black child, right? And then as the story progresses, like as they renew the shows and all that stuff, you see the character becoming lighter. And when they're talking about like really dark skinned characters, they're deemed as like they're loud and noisy and they are attention seekers and all that stuff. And when they're talking about lighter characters, they're just quiet, they're smarter, they're cleaner, and mm-hmm. yeah
thank you, Ilhan, for sharing. So since all four of you are now high school student and have went through public school, here, either charter school or public school. And I think all four of you were born here, right? Or came at
yes.
Cambridge. Okay.
I was actually born in Johannesburg, South Africa.
Okay. And how old were you, Sophia, when you migrated to the US?
I think I was 8 at the time.
Okay. How about you, Raida and Ilhan?
I was born in Nairobi, Kenya, but I came to the United States when I was about two, three years old, so.
Mm-hmm. How about you, Ilhan?
I was born and raised here all my life.
Okay. Yeah, so all of you either came at very young age or were born here and went through schooling system and still going through a schooling system here. What's your experience in terms of colorism in schools? If it's not your lived experience, maybe you know others within the school who have experienced. How does colorism play out in schools?
Yeah, I used to go to a school before I was a third grader. And so the school I used to go to, they'd be comparing your skin tones every single time. It's like, hey, you're darker than me. Like, you're no better than me and stuff like that. Like, and sometimes I'd be seeing kids saying, oh, I'm not fully Black. Like, my great-great-grandpa was, like, German or something like that. They don't really want to be Black. And sometimes they'd be comparing their hair types, like, oh, wow, you're wearing fake hair. Like, that's braids and all that stuff. And when they seeing these light-skinned kids, they'd be like, oh, you're so gorgeous. Like, where are you from? You just look so strange. You look so really beautiful to me. Like, where are you from? And they'd be asking, oh, like, I'm half white, half Black. And you're like, they act like they're more beautiful, like they're better than those dark-skinned kids. And then sometimes they'd be comparing their hair types. They compare literally everything, their action, like, oh, you're loud because you're Black, just like how I've said before. And yeah.
So like when you say like loud, like the teacher is, when they see Black kids that they're loud, they call it out. Is that what you mean?
Yes, really.
They associate that with skin color. Is that what you're saying, Ilhan?
Yeah, not only the students are doing that, the teachers are doing that as well.
Wow.
And they, I would like to add on to that point about the teachers. Yeah. I actually experienced teachers being, you know, more lenient and nicer to students with lighter skin than the ones with darker skin. Mm-hmm. And that led the way to, you know, it opened up the doors to bullying. Then students started, you know, bullying the kids with darker skin. And I've also actually been called, not even by my name, but like by, oh, the dark girl, you know, and like my skin color, it doesn't define who I am. It's definitely not my name. So just, you know, call me by my name.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, it was just like in schools, it was a very big issue, colorism, especially within, you know, schools that are more diverse with Black people. Mm-hmm. And yeah, it's a very big issue that needs to be addressed.
Mm-hmm. So Aisha and Ilhan, are you saying the schools that have more Black kids or less Black kids that are the ones that are mostly experiencing colorism?
In my school, it was predominantly white, but there's a good amount of Black kids, mostly the mixed kids. So when you see a darker skinned person, it's, they point them out right away.
Mm-hmm. And go ahead, Sophia.
I'd like to add on, I think you can face discrimination or colorism both ways, because when I was in South Africa, I went to a school that was mostly Black kids, and most of my peers, we were different because I was Somali, so our ethnicity was different, and they were just South African, you know, most of them. And there were other Somali families in my school, but then they notice our skin colors and they compare our skin colors, and I just get, me and my siblings would get discriminated against most of the time because our skin color was a bit lighter. So I think you can face discrimination both, or colorism both ways.
Mm-hmm.
But then also when I went to the US and I went to a Somali school,
I wasn't discriminated against because we were all the same. So.
Yeah, absolutely. You raised a very good point, Sophia. Colorism, it's a skin color discrimination within groups and outside groups. That means exactly the experience you had, Sophia. People who look like you, who have the same race as you, in that case, in South Africa, Africans. But you looked a bit of a different compared to them. And so these are groups within groups that are discriminating each other compared to the experiences that Aisha and Ilhan shared, which is external group discriminating skin color against the skin color. And so yes, within group and outside groups. So it's a very good point. So Raida, go ahead. You're about to say something.
Yeah, I just quickly wanted to add that I think that colorism nowadays is more of a problem with the girls, because I've seen more like guys, especially like darker skinned guys, who are like, oh, I would never date a dark skinned girl, or I never date a darky or a black girl because they're this and that. And even like the black guys who are the same skin color as them don't like them because of their skin color. So I think it's more of a like a nowadays is more of a problem with girls, but
mm-hmm.
my experience, that's what I think.
Great point. Thank you, Abby. Yeah, go ahead, Ilhan.
Sorry, I also like to add, like, they do, some people within our community and other Black communities as well, they'll try so hard just to date outside of their race, like, in order to have, like, mixed children to not look like them or something like that. It's like, some sort of, like, self-hatred. And, yeah, that's what I'd like to add.
Mm-hmm. So in terms of actually combating colorism in schools, so we create better environment for everybody to learn, because that is like a learning environment, and we have to create welcoming environment. What do you suggest in terms of policy changes within schools or outside schools? What will help to create a better environment for young Black girls or young brown girls as well, who are experiencing colorism in these school settings?
So what I would suggest is first working on, like Ilhan said, the confidence of the students. Many of the students, they are bullying, and they're colorist because they don't like what they see on themselves, what they see in the mirror. So when they go and they see the same students that look like them, then that, you know, that just makes them want to bully them. So what I would suggest is to have, like, you know, more books with Black leads, reading those books in schools, you know, always informing the students that their skin color is beautiful, they have nothing to be ashamed of, and, you know, just building the confidence of the students while they're young, so they could have that confidence and grow up with it, and then there would be change in our community.
Mm-hmm. Thank you, Aisha. That's a great suggestion.
I agree with Aisha, and I do feel like schools should educate their students, both the ones who are doing the bullying, like, educate them about why it's wrong to do so, and that they shouldn't feel that they're superior to someone else because of their skin color. And they should also educate the colored students about why their skin is something they should be proud of and they should own. And also, I feel like there should be punishment, and the students who are, like, making others feel bad about themselves should know that there are consequences to what they're doing, because some of them are just let off the hook and they think it's normal to do so, and they continue to do so.
Mm-hmm. Because of, like, yeah, because of they're seeing that they're normalizing. So do you think in that case teachers need some sort of teachers need to reinforce about ending or combating colorism?
Yeah, definitely. It shouldn't be a choice. Like, they should do this. It's not fair to other students to feel discriminated against all the time.
Mm-hmm. Because does that impact, what do you think, does that impact the learning of the students when they're getting bullied all the time about their skin color or their bad image in general.
Definitely. It has a very big impact on the students because students then will feel discouraged and they won't feel that they can voice their opinions. For example, they won't even be able to, you know, present in front of the class because they're so self-conscious and they're thinking, oh, what if this person, like, just constantly thinking about the other people's opinions, and that, like, distorts their learning. So that's a very big issue.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, and I also like to add that they have to learn that differences is okay without really trying to pity one ethnicity or one race.
Mm-hmm. That's a great point. Thank you. So how can, what can help to create more for these young Black girls or brown girls, young girls of color to see representation in every area? What can help that, like, how can that be, like, where do you think that representation can come from, and is that helpful to young Black girls?
I think the one place that should have the most focus is the media, because in 2020, a lot of younger children, or like kids that are 12 years old, 13 year olds, have phones, are on social media, are watching shows and movies. And I think that if producers or people who are, you know, thinking up of shows, come up with Black characters that don't support the stereotype about Black girls being loud, being ratchet, or whichever term they want to use. And, you know, just representing Black girls as, you know, as just normal humans, and really showing Black excellence in shows and movies, yeah, instead of like the hood, or, you know, that kind of stuff.
Thank you, Raida. Great.
Another representation that could be had is within our schools, like our teachers. Like, for example, my whole school, there's only one Black teacher that works there out of like the whole entire school. So I feel like it's very important that there's like diversity in the teachers, because teachers are what the students are looking up to, and they are, you know, the leaders, and they're the ones that are teaching these younger children. So there definitely has to be more Black teachers, or not even only Black, like in general, like diversity within the teachers.
Yeah, people of color, yeah.
People of color, yeah.
Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
I also feel like, I also feel like parents, they play a big role, because like I see some parents being influenced by other people saying that being dark skinned is wrong. Like you have to bleach their skin or like strain their hair and all that stuff. So in order to actually accept yourself, not only will you need to be influenced by the media, but also feel loved by your parents, like loving you for who you are.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. That like important unconditional love from the parents, and that they show you. Yeah, that's a great point. Any other thing that will help with representation?
I have something I want to add on to what Asha said about the teachers being Black. It reminds me of, like, I learned about, you know, the segregation times when schools were segregated, how, like, they were separated and white kids would have white teachers. And then when it was desegregated and, you know, the classrooms were mixed and there was Black and white students in the same classroom, there were still the only teachers that lost their jobs were Black teachers, and the white teachers were teachers for Black students. And that's why Black students had a harder time in class, because they didn't have a teacher that understood their struggles, or that could help them with, you know, things they were facing at home, or just issues that Black people face. So I think it is really important to have Black teachers, more Black teachers in the school system.
Mm-hmm. That's a very good point, Raida. And you know, having more diverse teachers or more teachers of color, it also depends on, you know, the state laws and federal, you know, how addressing this systematic racism that is already preventing them to even become teachers. And so I think we also have to think about, you know, how do we change these policies? So do you think that it should start with changing some of these policies that promotes teachers of color into these kind of coming into these schools?
Yeah, definitely. That way more Black people would be influenced to, you know, become teachers, because I feel like that's what's stopping people, like the government and how things usually work. And maybe if that was changed, then more people would feel more comfortable in joining the school system.
Anything else that you would like to add on the representation part? So before we end, the last question that I want to ask you is that how now, like since now we have new administration, what do you think of our upcoming vice president? She is woman of color, as some of you have mentioned. Do you think that that helps with the representation? Like how do you feel, each one of you, about that?
I think she's the representation that we were looking for, because she's both Black and South Indian, if I remember correctly. Yes. And so it shows young girls that are just like her, or even other minorities or colored kids, basically, that they can do the same thing as her, because she's in a high position right now and we're all really proud of her.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. Very powerful position. Yeah.
I also feel like it really encourages women from different backgrounds to actually take charge, no matter the difference, and despite the fact that they will face obstacles and they will face people that will reject them or maybe even judge them based on their backgrounds. So it's kind of like encouraging women to actually continue to go forward and change the world for the better.
Mm-hmm. Great point. Thank you, Ilhan.
Yeah, I feel like with this new vice president, she is like an exact representation for a lot of us Somali American women, because, you know, she's a child of an immigrant like all of us are, and she started with, you know, almost nothing and coming to this country out of her parents coming to this country with you know, no education, and she was able to find a way to lead the country and become, you know, and take this very important role. And so that really shows that, you know, you can only limit yourself, that you can really do anything that you put your mind to. And I think that's a very valuable lesson that all of us children of immigrants or immigrants can take away from this election this year.
Mm-hmm. Really great point. Thanks, Raida.
And I would like to add that this is basically our chance. We've always been the one that were least advantaged, you know, the ones who weren't as privileged as anyone else. But Kamala Harris, now she is basically living proof that we can do the same. Mm-hmm. And this is our opportunity. This is now our opportunity to, you know, we can now voice our opinions even more. And, you know, Kamala Harris is going to be there for us. And yeah, I'm pretty proud of the results of the election.
Mm-hmm. Amazing. And really, I want to congratulate you all, Aisha, Ilhan, Raida, and Sophia, for really contributing to that. You have done really amazing work this week, not only this week, prior to that, you know, helping the community, organizing the community, and making sure that they vote. And so, so you took part of this, and congratulations. And I'm so glad to have you on this show today. Thank you so much.
Yeah, thank you for having us.